I get up a little gingerly because sometimes when I sit down, this wire gets hooked up around whatever I'm sitting on. When I get up, it rips everything off. And I don't like the feeling of getting ripped off, do you? I'm not giving up my day job. Boy, he picked up my Bible. I said, man, if you lose my place, we're all going to be in trouble. All right, we're working. Open up your Bibles to Psalm 24. Psalm 24. If you have followed studies about the Psalms and or been under any kind of Old Testament instruction, you realize that there is a trilogy of 22, 23, and 24 which highlights those three Psalms as the Shepherd Psalms. Psalm 22 is known as the Psalm of the Good Shepherd. It pictures the crucifixion of our Savior. Psalm 23, the Great Shepherd. Oh my, I mean, the Lord is my shepherd, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 24 is the Psalm of the Chief Shepherd. The Chief Shepherd. Because as we look at our text, you'll notice something that will stand out. Psalm 24, verse 7. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah, which just means to pause and consider and contemplate. We used to say meditate, but you get the wrong connotation with that today. I'm not talking about sitting in a corner somewhere with your legs crossed in some uncomfortable position that you can never get out of. But contemplation. Pause and contemplate and consider what you have read. Five times in those four verses is the reference to the King of Glory. The Chief Shepherd. Keep that in mind. Now, hold your place there, and I'm going to turn to Luke chapter 21. You can turn there if you'd like. You don't have to, because I'm going to read it. But Luke chapter 21. And in Luke chapter 21, it's Luke's presentation of the Olivet Discourse. And the enunciation and the explanation of things yet to come for the nation of Israel. And in Luke 24, or 21, verse 25, it says, and there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. We're given evidence to the Good Shepherd, John chapter 10, Jesus said, I'm the Good Shepherd. And then the Scripture talks about the Great Shepherd of the sheep. Peter talks about the Chief Shepherd. We find that outlined and discoursed in these three chapters of Psalms. But we're challenged with something. What I read in Luke chapter 21 is a description of future events that will occur just prior to the Lord's return in glory. Revelation 19, the glorious return of Christ back to the earth. Jesus is talking to Jews in Luke chapter 21. The Psalms are Jewish Psalms written to Jews, so we find a great intent to the Jews. You say, well, you mean doesn't have any meaning for us? Oh, it has a lot of meaning for us. I just say that because oftentimes we confuse or overlap some things. We're part of the church. We're part of the body, the bride of Christ. We're a local church that meets here at 5434 7th Street on a regular basis, and we have a group of members and friends that come, and we are a local assembly, which is most of the New Testament emphasis on the church. But we are part, as we're saved, we're part of the body and the bride. And we are looking for, not necessarily, the fact of the matter is we're not looking for signs. Signs are happening all around us. But we're not looking for signs. We are looking or listening for the shout. We're listening for the trump of God. Because what I just read to you in Psalm 24 and in Luke chapter 21 is the glorious of return to Christ, of Christ back to the earth. Revelation 19. At the end of the tribulation period. Before the tribulation period begins is the rapture of the church. The catching away of the body and the bride of Christ described for us in 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. What you and I are listening for is the trump. In a moment, a twinkling of an eye, the trumpet shall sound. 1 Thessalonians talks about the dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Because at the rapture, Jesus is coming in the air. And we who are saved will be caught up. All the saints who have gone on before, their bodies will be resurrected and glorified. That's what we are looking and listening for. But what about all the signs? They're not for the rapture. They're for the glorious return of Christ. And what I say all the time, and I cannot say it with enough emphasis, is that, oh, we're seeing signs. Oh, we're seeing signs. Israel, Hamas, Iran, and everybody else that's against Israel. Oh, that's a sign. Yes, it is. It's a sign of the glorious return of Christ. Yeah, but that's at least 7 years away. Now you're getting the point. Because before the glorious return of Christ is the 7 years of tribulation, before the 7 years of tribulation is the rapture. So that means at any time we could anticipate hearing a trumpet and the shout, and all of us that are saved will be gone. Moment, twinkling of an eye. You're not going to watch it happen. All the skeptics are not going to see it happen. They're going to look, and I'm going to be here, and I'm going to be gone. If you're saved, you're going to be here, then you're going to be gone. I don't know if you leave your clothes behind. I don't know if they'll all be sitting there in a chair, just like your body was just miraculous. I don't know. I don't really care. It's not going to matter, because I'm going to be with Jesus. But yet the Bible talks so much about things that even are a minimum of 7 years in advance. And we are told in this text and in Luke chapter 1 to lift up your heads. Old Testament prophecy, lift up your heads, O ye gates, be ye lift up. Twice. Jesus said to the Jews in the Olivet Discourse, when you see these things come to pass, look up, lift up your heads. He's saying some things to the Jews and some things that we can give heed to, that we can pay attention to. And so I challenge you this morning with that phrase, lift up your heads. It's a word of exhortation. Exhortation. If I'm exhorting you, I'm trying to convince you of something. I'm trying to tell you something that you need to know, that you need to respond to. Exhortation, if I am exhorting, what would Paul tell Timothy? Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they'll not endure sound doctrine, but shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Exhort. In other words, when the truth has been revealed and the truth has been presented, you must accept it, you must receive it, you must respond to it. Here's a word of exhortation. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors. You say, what's that got to do with us? Well, for the nation of Israel, and in that context of that time frame, the gates would be the entranceway into the city, the place where everybody comes in. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Open up the gates of the city. Be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors. Where would the doors be? Well, that could be to the temple, to the palace, to your house, to the dwellings of people. Lift up your head. And I wrote down three words here. Actually, should be four. Socially, domestically, politically, and personally. What are you talking about? Apply the principle of what the psalmist, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, was telling the Jews. Apply the principle of what the Lord Jesus Christ was telling the Jews and make a New Testament application in the 21st century. And just as they were told, lift up your heads, look up, lift up your heads, we should also do the same thing. We should do it in our cities. We should do it in our homes. We should do it in our families. We should do it in our hearts. We should do it in Washington, D.C. Good heavens, we finally got somebody who at least claims to be a Christian in the House of Representatives as a Speaker of the House, and all the Republicans can do is criticize the guy. You expect the liberals to criticize him. They criticize everything that's right. But we need to lift up our heads. So what does that do? Have you watched the younger generation today? Have you watched the older generation today? When you go through the towns, when you drive through the parking lots, pretty much anywhere you go. I don't have anything here, but have you watched people? See, we criticize the young people, but I see a lot of older people doing the same thing. We have become so focused upon the phone, which is our medium of communication. I do the same thing. I'm on my phone all the time. I do the same thing. It's my source of news. I don't ever watch the news on television. I never watch the news on television. I get it off the phone. I get it from blog reports. I get it from Fox. I get it from Blaze. You say, but it may not all be true. You certainly don't think that everything you watch on TV is true, right? But anyway, I digress. But our attention seems to be with a lowered head. In an emotional sense, when someone is discouraged, what do we tend to do? I've heard of people talking about being introverted. I think it might have been Jack Howells that said it. He said when he was young, the only way he could recognize anybody was by their shoes. Because he was so introverted, he would never look at anybody. He'd see their shoes. We tend to get, in the 21st century, if you're like me, disgusted. discouraged. And then you ever been with someone when you're looking up? You ever been with someone that, you know, at night looking up in the stars? Hey, beautiful stars. And you say, okay, I've seen enough stars. You look away and somebody says, oh, there's a shooting star. What? I missed it. Why? You know, a lot of people are missing stuff because their head is so low. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Look up. Lift up. But I'm tired of what I see. Yes, I got that. Well, lift your eyes a little bit higher. Just put your perspective a little bit higher. I'm looking at Washington, D.C. and vomiting. I'm looking at a lot of other things and getting mad. Where should my perspective be? Jesus is coming. Okay, could be today. Lift up your heads so you can see, so you can behold, so you can pay attention, so you can be prepared. Lift up your hearts. I'm going to have to pick up speed. Lift up your hearts so you can be ready. Lift up your hands so you can serve and pray and worship. Old Testament artistry and perspectives given about people praying in the Old Testament. How do you always see them? What are they doing? They're looking up to the heavens, to the source of their prayer. What are they doing? They have their hands outstretched in anticipation of those hands being filled by the one listening to their prayer. The charismatics have literally robbed us of everything. We don't talk about the Holy Spirit. And every time somebody lifts up their hand, I'm going, oh. They might think I'm going to talk in the wrong language or something. I remember going to conferences at Highland Park when I was there. And not this, because this is being used for what it's used for. But I've seen preachers get up in the middle of a sermon with their white handkerchiefs. Ah, glory! Pick up their Bible. I'm going to lose all my, and I'm going to start all over again. Wave their Bibles. Amen! What happened? They've gotten excited about what the preacher is preaching about. Well, good heavens, we don't want to get excited about what the preacher's preaching about. Somebody might think we're, you know. I told you this story. I'm going to tell you again because I like the story. This little old lady got saved and she was thrilled. She was excited and she went to this church. She's trying to find a church to go to. She goes in and everything's new to her. You know how new Christians are. You know how new converts are. They're excited about everything. They haven't listened to the old converts long enough to get all sour and all. But she's excited. She's in church and everything. The song she was saying, amen. The offering she was saying, amen. The preacher was preaching. She was saying, amen. And getting excited. Finally, one of the dignified old men said, listen, ma'am, you're disturbing the decorum of the service. And would you please try to calm down a little bit. And she said, I'm so sorry. I don't want to disturb anything. But I just got saved. And I'm so excited that I found Jesus. And he said, well, ma'am, you might have found Jesus, but you didn't find him here. You know, I don't want us, I'm not looking for us to become a charismatic church. We're going to speak in English here. We're going to read our Bibles in English. We're going to talk in English. And we're not going to have a healing service or we're not going to run around and dance and carry on and do holy calisthenics in church. But there's nothing wrong with saying amen. Nothing wrong with saying praise the Lord. And if your hand tends to go up, that's all right too, because that's how worship used to be. Lift up your heads, lift up your hearts, lift up your hands. What do you do with your hands? Work! Remember that old four-letter word. I used to call it a blasphemous curse word. Four-letter word, work. I didn't like it. Still don't. But it's a good word. And if we're going to serve the Lord, we're going to work. With what? Our hands. Well, I can't use my hands anymore. That's all right, you can still pray. And if you get any kind of income, you can still give. And if you're still walking upright, you can still come to church. And if you have that motor ability, you can still give somebody this. There's a whole lot you can do. So, a word of exhortation. A word of expectation. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. A King of glory? Wow! He's not there yet, but he shall come in. Expectation. Verse 9. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. He ain't here yet, but he shall come. Twice. The King of glory shall come. Jesus said, look up, lift up your heads, your redemption draweth nigh. It's at the threshold. It's at the doorstep. It's at the horizon. Word of expectation. Oh, I don't think Jesus should come today or could come today. Why not? The only thing that I can humanly speak of, because there are no signs, it ain't Israel. Because Israel and the church are separate. So I don't have to look at Israel for the rapture. But that's happening. Yes, it is. But I don't have to look at Israel for the rapture. I don't have to look at the weather for the rapture. But the weather is crazy. But I don't have to look at the weather for the rapture. But the economy, is we're going to have a one-world cashless economy. I don't have to look at that for the rapture. Humanly speaking, the only thing I can really consider that I've heard other preachers say, so I'm going to say it because it makes sense, is that there is one last soul that's going to get saved in the church age. And in the economy of God, when that occurs, God said, okay, now it's time. You say, well, I don't believe it. I don't care. You got a better explanation? Other than that, there's nothing to look for before the rapture of the church. Just listen. Shout! Trumpet! Expectation. Be ready for who's coming. And then a word of exaltation. Exhort, expect, exaltation, exalt. Look at what the text says in verse 8. Well, who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Jehovah God. That's the King of glory. Verse 9, the King of glory shall come in. Verse 10, who is this King of glory? If you didn't get it the first time, here it is in verse 10. The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Every Jew understood that. It's Jehovah Sabaoth. You can pronounce it any way you want to. Sabaoth, Sabaoth, however you want to pronounce it. But it means the captain of the hosts of heaven. It means the Lord. It means Jehovah. It means El Shaddai, El Elyon. It means the God of creation, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of hosts, the King of glory. Exaltation. Who are we exalting? God. He said, I thought we were supposed to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. Yep. You got it. Well, who is Jesus? He's God. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. Lift up your heads because Jesus is coming. He is God. Before Abraham was, I am. He that has seen me has seen the Father. I don't know how much more proof you got to have. But the Lord of hosts, exaltation, lifting up the Lord Jesus, exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. We lift Him up every time we sing a hymn. Love lifted me. Christ lifted me. Jesus is coming again. Marvelous message we bring. Glorious carol we sing. Wonderful word of the King. Jesus is coming again. Who do we pray to? Not Mary. Not Saint whoever, Jude or whoever. I don't know. They got so many of them. I can't. It certainly ain't Saint Teresa. Who do we pray to? Jesus. God. In Jesus' name. A word of exaltation. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is. Pause and reflect on that a little bit. While we're watching and listening to everything else, let's be ready for God's events. Lift up our heads, our hearts, and our hands, because a rapture is imminent. You say, but what if I die before the rapture? You can't lose. If you're saved, you're going to heaven. But if I die, I'll miss it. No, you won't, because the dead in Christ shall rise first. You'll actually have a head start. 6 foot. Whatever. And if we are alive, the trumpet sounds, and the archangel shouts, moment, a twinkling of an eye, this will all be behind us, and we'll be in the presence of the Lord together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. I don't know about you. I got a few folks I want to see again. You got anybody up there who went on before? Sure you do. Man, what a reunion. But it's even going to be greater to see Jesus. Why? Exaltation. See, the rapture is about Jesus coming to catch His bride. He's the head of the body, which is the church. It's all about Him. You say, well, I'm still looking at all those signs and scratching my head. Okay, well, you're just going to be 7 years down the road, that's all. I'm looking to see if I had anything else. Nope. I think that's it. Lift up your heads. Lift up your hearts. Lift up your hands. A word of exhortation. A word of expectation. And a word of exaltation. Jesus is coming again. Father, these are the thoughts that You laid upon my heart. So much to consider in a few minutes' time. Trying to condense it all in the parameters that we have. Lord, I pray I was clear and understandable. And that, Lord, will understand that although You were telling the Jews to lift up their heads, we can do the same. And not only our heads, but our hearts and our hands. Because You're coming. And may we live in anticipation of that. That means we're saved. Born again. Saved by grace. In the shed blood of Christ, the finished work of Calvary, His death, burial, and His resurrection. We're saved. And then, Lord, we're busy. We're serving. We're worshiping. Help us.